Today, we're speaking with Lynn Risling. Lynn is a painter, illustrator, educator, and author of the book Coyote at the California Big Time, a follow-up to her best-selling A is for Acorn. Welcome, Lynn Risling.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you here. Tell us about Coyote at the Big Time and A is for Acorn.
Well, the first one, A is for Acorn, I'm not really the author. It's Annalia Tripp. She's the one that had the idea when she was working for Heyday Publishing, who is the publisher of both books. And so I was invited by her and the editor at the time to do the illustrations for that book, this A is for Acorn. So she came up with some of the ideas, and I also added some ideas as far as which objects or images to represent the different letters in our California Native people's world, you might say. Anyway, so I came up with the illustrations for that book and included designs around the borders, which, you know, I did quite a bit of research on those to find designs that would represent different tribes throughout California. And there's quite a few tribes. And long, long time ago, there was probably 200 different tribes and a lot of different languages spoken. There is a lot of similarities in some of the things, like some of the basket designs have similarities, but they're also very distinct. So you couldn't really say a mono basket design is the same as a karuk basket design, although there might be some similarities. I wanted to be able to, you know, represent as many tribes as I could, although it wasn't possible when you only have 26 letters. So that was the ABC book. And then later on, I was asked to do another book representing numbers, the same type of format. Both of them are children board books, so they're about 6 by 6 inches. I wanted to do a story, or a real simple story, versus just a number book representing just objects, you know, random object. So that's what I did, and I came up with Coyote at the Big Time because the Big Time is a celebration or a gathering that's done by different tribes throughout California. My understanding is it was actually came about from a gathering for the harvest of acorns. And so people would come together and probably serve acorns and then invite different villages, and maybe eventually it became other tribes were also invited. They would demonstrate some of their ceremonies or dances and share, you know, in that way, share with each other the different types of dances. And some of them have similarities in some of the tribes of their dances. So that was one thing. And then it's kind of spread throughout California now. So we have one here at HSU every year, and it's a few tribes from out throughout California are invited and to share dances and other types of, you know, there's other types of cultural sharing. So people bring different types of their art and crafts and, you know, things to sell and share. We do demonstrations of various sorts. We have, or locally, we have a gambling, we call it a Indian card game with drums. And other tribes have other types of hand games, which are, I illustrated a couple of those in the book, The Coyote at the Big Time. And in the book, there is, it's all animals. There's no human beings.
How did you decide which animals were going to be doing what activities at the Big Time?
Well, one of the examples that I have is the birds, because in Southern California, there's a tradition of what they call the bird songs. And these bird songs are pretty ancient. They come from creation stories, or the songs speak of this whole journey of creation and traveling. And traditionally, I think the songs are sung over a period of several days. But the songs have been brought back in recent times. And more and more people from those cultures or traditions and tribes are bringing those songs back and teaching the young people. And they've also been traveling to different gatherings like Big Times and sharing some of those songs with the people there. And they're just incredible and beautiful and powerful. And so last year they had some of those bird singers up here at the big time at HSU. So in illustrating those, I wanted to have the characters be birds, of course. And it was explained to me by the editor of the book. Her name is Taria Smith, and she's from Southern California. And she was saying that she thought the birds should be birds of prey. I think there was four birds, and they were hawks mainly. So that was really fun coming up with those images. And I just kind of was trying to choose different animals that represented, you know, the state of California. Of course, there was some limitation there. But so the first one is a raccoon, and he's holding a clapper stick that's used in some of the ceremonies for some of the middle of California or the central California tribes use in their ceremonies. And then there's two rabbits for the number two, and they're wearing traditional regalia of one of the central California tribes. So I tried to, you know, represent different animals and different regalia from different tribes, and representing some of the what you would see at these big times with some of their dances.
What do you think it means for a Native American child or and their parents to have these books that you've illustrated and written?
I think it's a really great thing to have for our families, for our children, because there's not very many of them out there. And I've heard people say a lot of different times that I wish we had, you know, more books in our that represent our culture. And so it is really nice when you have that, and children do relate to it. I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback from families about their children, and not just the children, but the adults as well. There's so many other books out there that don't necessarily relate to our families, and yet we've had to adapt to those and to those images. So it's nice to have something that represents our own cultures.
Lynn, you are known primarily as an artist here in Humboldt County. Can you talk about the paintings that you do?
I started out as a young girl just liking to draw. And I come from families that are artists in different ways. On my mother's side, she was an artist and illustrator. And same with her mother. My grandmother was a painter and artist. And so I was around people that valued art and encouraged me to do art. And on my father's side, that's where most of my Native culture comes into play. But some of my aunts and other relatives we come from people who are basket weavers, and I had aunts that became potters, even though it wasn't local to our culture, but they found Native clay, and one of my aunts was able to start using local clay, but also she took some pottery classes, and then she started teaching other people, and so they formed a pottery guild. So there was always creative people around me, and then some of my family on his side, on my dad's side, also liked drawing and painting. So when I was at UC Davis, I had an instructor who was a Navajo man. His name was Carl Gorman, and he had a famous son, R.C. Gorman, Navajo artist. But Carl was a great inspiration and encouragement to me to look more at my own Native culture as an inspiration for my own art. And so it kind of went on from there to where I started. I moved back up here where my family's from, and especially on my dad's side, after graduating from college, and became kind of immersed in my family culture and history and tried to learn as much as I could. It was, you know, the 70s. There was a lot of activity going on politically for Native people and others, civil rights and American Indian Movement and Alcatraz. And my dad was really, really involved. David Risling was involved in a lot of different things and promoting Indian education, or, you know, benefiting, making it better for Native people in a lot of different levels with education. And then the Native American Art, Native American Rights Fund was started. It's all these activities that he was involved in, many other people as well. And so that was kind of this environment that I was being, you know, exposed to as a young adult. And so all these things kind of led me to coming back, moving up, back up here, becoming learning more about my own culture and my own traditions and ceremonies and getting involved. My grandfather was in his 90s at that time and spent a lot of time around him and getting involved with things that he was getting involved in, trying to bring back more of our culture and our ceremonies along with other people. And so I became sort of involved in this renaissance that was taking place for our native tribes in this area. I am Karuk and Yurok by blood, but I'm a member of the Hoopa tribe. And so anyway, all these things became an inspiration for my art, especially ceremony and some of our other traditions. And so that's been the, you know, kind of the drive of my art over the last, you know, several years.
Is there something that you want to convey with your art, or is it what you want to just express for yourself personally, or both?
I think it's both. Like I said, this especially the ceremonies that inspire me. It's, you know, a lot of my art, you know, when I was doing it, I'm not necessarily trying to there's a theme that seems to run through my art, which I wasn't really thinking about until I looked back on it. And I had an art show, a solo art show down at the Carl Gorman Museum, which is at UC Davis, and had the opportunity, was invited to do a show there. And so I had to gather up all this artwork mostly to other people, because I didn't have a large current body of artwork, even though I was doing some. But looking at it all, I was like, oh, there is a theme. And it had to do with renewal and transformation, and which, you know, is kind of what I was talking about, is renewal of our culture, renewal of our identity, our people, renewal of tradition and ceremony. And then that is what our ceremonies are about. They're about renewal. It's about renewing the earth. It's about renewing ourselves. And that's, for me, that's a theme that's important, not only to myself personally and to our people, our native people in this area, but it's for the whole world. It's what we need, and that's what's lacking in a lot of places, is that sense of renewal, you know, renewing ourselves spiritually as well as, you know, on all other levels, and what we need for the earth. And when our ceremonies are about renewal of the earth and, you know, our environment, and that's what's lacking, you know, in this world. And if we all were doing that, everybody believed in that, all over the world, that idea of renewing the earth and renewing ourselves, then we wouldn't have the problems we have today. Right?
right. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Since I guess the 70s was a time of cultural revitalization or renaissance, as you say. So the idea of renewal is, I imagine, something that you've been talking about your whole adult life. But for folks who don't have that idea of what renewal is or why it's needed, or it's just not something in their, you know, regular vocabulary, what does it, renewal mean, or how is it achieved in your mind?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it can be a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But, you know, it's like taking a look at your life. And like when we go to our ceremony, we're supposed to leave all our negative feelings towards others, towards anything, you know, to leave that behind. And when you go there, you do get a sense of renewal. And when you leave those feelings behind, like there might be someone there that you don't really care for, you don't, maybe not necessarily even who they are, but what they've done or what they do or whatever it is. But when you're there, you treat them with respect and how you would want to be treated, regardless of the circumstances. And by doing that, you take away some of that negative energy. And so when you leave that place, you kind of put things in a different perspective, and some of those things that seemed so important to be mad about or feeling whatever negative energy towards, you realize, well, that's not worth it, or that's not that big of a deal, you know. So it's kind of like we have to look at ourselves and how we're living our life. We have to stop once in a while and kind of take inventory of, like, what am I doing, you know, because we're all kind of going along and we're all, you know, letting life just pull us along, and we're letting all these influences just grab us here and take us here, and we don't think about it. We don't stop and reflect, and we don't stop and think, oh, I do the same thing. We all do, you know, like, oh, I didn't need to, you know, waste that, or, you know, I could have done that better, or I could have treated that person differently, or whatever it is, or I could have eaten better, or, you know, just all these things that we need to look at for ourselves, and how we treat other people, and how we treat the earth, and how we waste things, you know, water and food, and am I being too much of a consumer? And I mean, there's just so many things that, you know, a person could think about that to help us live a better life, not just for ourselves, but for each other, for all of us, for the animals, for the, you know, all of our environment, and all the things that are, they're in danger, you know, now, the things that are, we can't take for granted. We have to look at those things, and it's a big, big chore, you know, but we all need to do our little part as best we can, you know. And some people do a big part, and some people just do a little. We do what we can. We can't all be the big, you know, heroes. We can't all do these great, enormous things, but we can all contribute to something greater than ourselves. And when we have our ceremonies, the ceremonies are bigger than the individual. You know, the ceremonies have a life of their own. They have their own spirit. And so, you know, collectively, we as people have power, you know, we have this power together, you know, more than the individual, but we just have to do our little part. And everybody has whatever it is. We all have our talents. We all have our strengths. We all have our weaknesses too, and faults. But we just, if we can contribute to the bigger whole, the bigger good, then we're all doing, you know, our part.
Oh, thank you. That's a wonderful way to describe renewing thoughts and actions, for sure. I think in painting, that can be kind of a meditative time to really just be in the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Art is can be a spiritual experience as well as other things. And even though you may not consciously be thinking that, but yeah, you're in the moment, and it takes you to a place that you're not normally in. You know, it's kind of another state of mind, of being, and it can have that sense of renewal. It's nourishing. It can be. For me, it is. It's sometimes it's like when there's so many things that are out of my control, and, you know, problems and this and that, and other people, and, you know, it's like, oh, I just want to go paint, and then I can just feel like I'm okay again or something.
Right.
You know? And it just takes you away from all that for a moment, but it has a little healing part of it. Then the product itself, the painting, not just my painting necessarily, but other people's paintings as well, or other forms of art, there's so many different forms of art, can also bring those feelings to other people, you know, those feelings of renewal or healing, or just a sense of peace, or just a good feeling, whatever it is. It's nice to have that kind of feedback, to know that my art does affect people in positive ways, you know. And I guess that would be my goal or accomplishment, you know, even though I may not have set out to do that when I'm starting a painting. But in the end, that's, you know, I guess that would be really what I want to happen. Yeah.
Your partner, Julian Lang, is also an artist and cultural leader here in the community.
Mm-hmm.
How do you two as a couple approach your creative work and your cultural work?
Well, a lot of it is intertwined, you know, especially our ceremonies that we're involved in. The main one that we are have been kind of responsible for is a ceremony we call Ihuk. It's a Karuk ceremony. It's a puberty ceremony for girls that are turning into women. It's to make luck for the girl, for her as an adult person, as an adult woman, and throughout her life. So the ceremony is to bring luck to that girl, and she's making her own luck, and everyone there is making luck for her through songs, through the dance ceremony, and through the whole process. And we've witnessed that through these different girls, the impact on their lives has been pretty amazing. And so we were able to bring that ceremony back about 23 years ago after it had been dormant for over 120 years. And so that's been a very involved, wonderful, amazing journey that continues to evolve. That's where a lot of my husband, Julian, that's kind of where our connection really became really, really strong, was through that beginning of that journey and continues. We're both artists, so, you know, we share a lot of our values through our, not just our art, but through our culture. That's a big part of who we are. And so that's kind of where we sort of come together. A lot of the other parts of our life, it's like a lot of times we butt heads, you know, and the daily parts of life that, you know, little habits and stuff like that, that, you know, as a couple, it's always, you know, we have to go through our trials and errors and ups and downs. But it's the culture that always, again, it's part of that renewal that kind of renews us and renews our relationship and kind of brings us back to our senses, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
So it's been a really good journey, and I'm really thankful for that.
You're having a reading of Coyote at the Big Time to kind of kick off the Salmon Festival in Klamath.
Yes, I'm excited about that, and yeah, that'll be good. Can't really say too much about it. It's like a book reading for a children's number book isn't, you know, a long, drawn-out thing, but I'll be there to sign books, and the books will be for sale, not only there, but during the Salmon Festival, and also we'll have some prints and cards for sale, too, at the Salmon Festival on the following day.
Well, Lynn Risling, mm-hmm. It has been such a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. That was great. Thanks.